Tuesday edition. But because the game is on Saturday for the Packers, it's actually a Wednesday in Packerland edition, which makes tomorrow a Thursday and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera edition. Hey, Tausch is back, and he was not enjoying someone reclining into his lap on an airplane edition. And the Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure edition. Of course, Wilde and Tausch trivia. And for the first time in several days, I'm not required to roll a ski ball with the proper form with both feet on the ground edition. Stickler Ashton Rotman. Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, and of course on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and some rogue sites that I'm noticing are picking up our podcast as well. As long as you're listening, we appreciate it. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Ashton Rotman is in the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All Studios in Milwaukee. Good morning, Ashton.
Hi, Jason.
Jesse Nelson is in the still phone lineless, brand spanking new Park Bank ESPN Madison Studios in the Spark Building on East Wash. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning. The phone, we can actually call out now. So if you guys want to try our trivia deal again where people text in. And
no, we can't. Nope.
No, we're good. Nope. No, I don't think
nope.
so.
All right. Nope. Never mind.
Nope.
Then we're
and that fourth voice you hear, he returns from parts unknown. He joins us from parts unknown. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. Welcome back. How are you?
Yeah, it's great to be back. I missed you guys, although it was great taking a national holiday off and enjoying my day. Yesterday was a battle. I ain't going to lie to you. It was an absolute battle. So
sorry to
I'm going to give you – yeah, I'm sure. You sound really disjointed by it. So I'm going to give you a little layout of the decision-making and how things played out. Tell me how you would have done it different. So we went and had a great trip. We took the family. We had no hockey this weekend. Had, you know, there's no Packer game. So worked out perfectly. Went down to Florida for a nice 70-some degrees. There was a tornado that hit. But be that as it may, beautiful trip.
But otherwise, I didn't even know. Great.
Wait a minute.
First off, I didn't know tornadoes hit Florida. Obviously, hurricanes hit Florida.
You sure it wasn't a hurricane?
I didn't realize... it was not a hurricane, no. It was a tornado because the sirens were going off, and we're like, what the? You know, it was windy. We still got to go play golf later that afternoon, which was nice, but tornadoes do hit Florida. Little fun not a fun fact, just a fact.
Not a fun fact, yes.
So we were supposed to fly back early yesterday morning, and we were supposed to be flying through Atlanta. Well, we get a little deal on Sunday that there's black ice and snow hitting Atlanta. Maybe think about changing your flight. This is from Delta. So I'm like, all right. I was, you know, Sarah's sitting there. She's like, what do you think? I said, well, we booked it because you would normally think going through Atlanta, you're going to get home. Flying through Detroit or Minneapolis, I don't even think about going to Chicago. I never fly through Chicago. It's a complete blank show, so I never do that. But I was thinking, well, it's always better to go through Atlanta, right? Well, all right, so they send us this warning, and then we see that a bunch of flights are canceled on Sunday in Atlanta. I'm like, well, that's all going to get backlogged. All right, let's make the move. Let's go through Detroit. So we get up crack early. On Monday, like I'm talking 4:30-ish Eastern time. And for all the Eastern time zone, that's 3:30 here. Get on the plane. We get there. We fly to Detroit. And now we have a couple extra hour layover. But you know what? We're going to be home at 11:30. No big deal. Get there. No airplane. And I'm always nervous when I don't see an airplane at the hangar because stuff's going to happen, Captain.
Uh-oh.
No airplane. Delay. Okay, Max has got his hockey pictures, so Sarah's on edge. Like, are we going to get back in time? I don't know. I no idea. Then, finally, they tell us, hey, the airplane's coming. Okay, the airplane's going to come. But we don't know if we have crew. Oh, that's lovely. So the airplane comes, and it's 3 hours later than it's supposed to be. You know, in today's day and age, hey, 2-3 hours, that's kind of baked into the cake. I'm not mad because stuff's going to happen. It gets to be 5-6 hours, I'm getting a little irritated. So I say, well, can you tell me for sure that we're going to take off? No. But we're going to board you, and we hope that this flight attendant comes from this other plane. And I said, whoa, whoa, there's another flight from Detroit to Madison at 3:50. It is now 3 o'clock, and we are supposed to take off at 11:30. So, whatever. I said, why don't you just shovel her on the 3:50 flight, because we had crew to leave.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You were telling them how to dispense their staff?
Yes.
Is that what you did?
No.
Okay.
So
just
here's the
clarify.
Deal.
Continue.
So we're on the plane, and I say, well, there are two flight attendants and two pilots. That's all we need. It's not some turbo-decker, jumble-decker plane. This is a baby plane. And she said, yeah, but we have to get this. We have to have our crew in Madison that they can leave. And I said, well, there's a 350 flight. There's a bunch of open seats on it. Put her on that plane. And they're like, yeah, that actually makes sense. And I said, why can't we do that? And they, and of course, they're up on there on the phone. And so I could tell immediately they're completely butchering this whole thing. So they're fighting. And then they're like, but we're going to fire Waters at you. And they come through, and I'm like, don't try to pass me off for a bottle of water. But I was not yelling, just I was trying to be completely reasonable, and I thought I was. But then as this whole thing goes, the plane is about three-quarters full. Of course, somebody is sitting there, and they have to recline their seat on one of these little baby planes. Like, come on, bro. My point, and this is where my tweet comes, so we ended up getting back. We got back just in time for pictures. It was 6 hours later than had we taken the Atlanta flight, so we gambled and we lost. Atlanta, no problems, came back. So is it frustrating?
Wow.
Yeah, I was frustrated, sure.
All right,
but
so
we got
I have,
back, safe and sound.
I have so many questions, as I often do. First of all, do you have you confirmed the fact that had you stuck with the Atlanta flight, you would have been back.
Yeah, we'd have been home at 11.
Time.
Yeah.
That flight
actually
did land.
In an ironic twist, that flight actually got in early. 10:53,
oh,
it landed.
No.
Yeah, so that already kind of irritated me. But
okay.
Yeah, it's
understandably.
It is what it is. Yeah.
And then was there any conversation as you were unsure of whether your Detroit to Madison flight that had been delayed so severely was going to get there? Was there any discussion of you and Sarah and the kids going on that 3:50 flight?
There
so
was.
You weren't in a position where that flight attendant's absence might really leave you out to dry.
Yeah, no, we discussed that. But then the funny part was, because I wanted to make sure I didn't do anything dumb and I wanted to make sure I stayed calm, I headed over to the Harrisburg. I get irritated and I want to make sure.
No.
Take a deep breath. Because I saw the no plane and I saw flight delayed. Okay. I understood. Again, as I like to say, baked into the cake. No problem. If we leave at 2 o'clock, whatever. We'll get back at, 2:15 because it's an hour time change, whatever. So I sat over at the Harrisburg. Well, then the crew from our plane gets on the Harrisburg plane across the alley, which is right, B2 and B1 if you've been in Detroit. So
sure.
I'm sitting there and I'm watching. And Sarah, I can tell she's antsy. She's starting to. So that calmed me down. When I see that, I'm like, all right, I can't get irritated. I'm going to stay calm. So it is what it is. Blah, blah, blah. So the gal that's at the front desk is sitting there, and she's saying, well, we have enough crew. We're going to take off. I said, perfect. So then it's just going to kind of be Madison's problem when we get to Madison. That was my anticipation. As we're going on this plane, she's boarding us. I hear the flight attendant say, I don't know why we're even boarding. We're not going anywhere. And I said, whoa, whoa, we're not sitting on this plane for 7 hours. Because I heard these stories of sitting on a runway for 7 hours.
Yeah.
No, That can't happen, Captain. If you're not doing it, should we get on the 350? And she's like, I don't know. Do you guys want to get on the 350? And that's what I'm like, well, tell us if this plane's leaving. If it's not, yes, I'd like to get on the 350. Well, you can, but I'm not sure that plane's going to be on time either. So there we're sitting. Kids got their headphones on, completely oblivious to the whole deal. Sarah's freaking out. And the flight attendant, I think your best bet. And then the gal at the gate agent, who was awesome, basically said, I'd stay on this plane. I think we're going to get off. Finally, the flight attendant comes on. We have we have a full crew for the next flight on our plane. So we got back, but what a blank show Monday, Martin Luther King Day, was for this guy.
All right, so my final question. So there are times, obviously, when you're, you know, not your best version of yourself after you've done Freddie and Fitzsimmons late at night or what have you. We are thrilled to have you back. The show is 1,000 times better, even though Eric Name was terrific yesterday as your cousin's sub of the day. So from a selfish point of view for me, what am I looking at today for the next 2 hours and 48 minutes after this experience? Are you in a good place? Are you a little irascible? Like, are you going to be like, am I going to push the wrong button? And while you didn't go after the flight attendant, I might catch your wrath. Like, how are you today?
When do I ever let any of that stuff affect me? When do I ever?
When you got up at what time did you get up in Atlanta or in Florida for the flight you thought you were taking to Atlanta? What time did you get up when you changed to Detroit?
I just told you 4:30.
Okay, so that's 3:30 Wisconsin time. What time did you go to bed last night?
I don't know. 10:30. Played pickleball this morning. Got beat. So the recipe is there for me to be real ornery.
That's all I was
just so
asking.
You know.
That's all I wanted to know. And
we
now
lost.
I know what I've got to deal with today.
I don't want to bore anybody, but we lost the match we should have won. 3-2. We lost both. We're up 2-1. We end up getting beat 13-11 in both games. So I can understand why you'd be a little anxious. Yeah, and it might be. I could be frothy today. I'm not sure yet.
Well, I know one thing that always brightens your mood, no matter what, and that is talking about Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The top 10 reasons to visit PellaWI.com right now. Number 10, Pella of Wisconsin. They install year-round. Number 9, every Pella of Wisconsin installer. They are Pella certified to ensure your complete satisfaction. Number 8, Pella of Wisconsin teams complete installations in as little as 1 day. 7 through 5, a 2020 national survey ranked Pella Windows number 1. Highest value, highest quality, and most preferred by Wisconsin homeowners. Number 4 and 3. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. They have 6 lines to fit your style and financing to fit any budget. Number 2. Now, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin's featured offer gives you 5 years no interest plus 5 months without any payments. And the number one reason to see Pella of Wisconsin now. These offers end January 31st. Set your free consultation today. Let me finish the read, please. Set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com or give a call at 855-PellaWI. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details. Thank you.
You're done now? You're pregnant, pause.
I mean, we've only done this read 15 times this month. And for some reason, you chomped in there. I don't know why, but you did.
You did. I did. I chomped in there. That's true. All right, so Tausch is back. We're happy to have him. We did not, due to the length of our travel story returning from Florida, get to the choose-your-own-adventure aspect of the playoffs. And if we instituted Tausch's idea, which I do think is smart and fun and could cause a lot of headaches for coaches that chose the wrong team, I want to get to that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
To the bottom. I asked you, girl, are you ready to fight? And you could you do so?
when you're right about something, which is often, how often do you take a victory lap on stuff?
Not very often.
I don't like,
I'll tell you about it because I'm doing the show. If I wasn't doing the show, I would probably not tell you. But did I go 6-0 this week on playoff picks?
I did.
So is that telling
nice.
You anything?
Nice.
This
yeah,
was
that
the
sounds
easiest,
like a victory
but
lap. Yeah.
In fairness, no. In fairness, this is the easiest week of playoff football we've ever seen. There was so much stuff baked into the cake of being done with this.
A lot of baking.
Like, yeah, well, we baked a lot. Other than the San Fran-Dallas game, you kind of sensed home teams were going to win these football games. That's just what was going to happen. And with the exception of the Bengals-Raiders, there's just a lot of, you expand the playoffs for money, which is great. Hey, we all love money. You didn't do it for competitiveness. It's just the 7 seeds, they were not playoff football teams. And the 2 seeds were. And the 2 seeds spanked the living blank out of them. Why are we shocked by that? Anybody that's surprised by that, I was a little surprised Arizona was as non-competitive as they were last night. But I thought the Rams would win. The way they beat them down, I would think if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'd be... Might be time for those boys to move on and find somebody new. If I was Arizona, that's what I would do.
So I'm glad I asked because I was actually going to ask if I should take a victory lap on our good buddy Rob Domofsky, because we had a debate on our little television show we do up here, which team you would be most concerned about. And I said San Francisco. And I said, Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback than he gets credit for. And he was like, no. He almost did kind of a touch. No. Kyler Murray, much better quarterback, mobile, much better player.
But, Jason, in Rob's defense, I love defending Domofsky. Every team in the league takes Kyler Murray over Garoppolo, including
correct.
The San Francisco 49ers.
But since losing DeAndre Hopkins, he stinks. They were bad down the stretch. I mean, they were not a very good offense. They were not a very good football team. If you didn't see last night coming from the Arizona Cardinals, I don't know what to tell you. They went to Detroit and played their players, unlike the Packers in the second half, and got beat, and not just got beat, got beat down. That was a flawed team that was not going to win last night. I don't think the Packers had to worry about facing them because I was not surprised by last night at all. I listened to the Cardinals announcers. I use that SiriusXM app where you can get the local announcers for all the different games. And I'll say this. I've never heard announcers trashing their own team to the degree that I heard that crew with the Cardinals. And it was probably deserved. So, they are out. The Rams...
Well,
the Bucks.
Jason, what do you want them to do? It's 27-0. Their quarterback pops the ball up in the air like a whatever and hands him a tutter right before the half. Like, what do you want? You want Dave Pasch to say, oh, that was genius by Kingsbury. Like, of course you're going to. You can't make chicken blank out of chicken blank. You just can't do it.
Which one is the salad and which one is the blank?
It's chicken salad, not a chicken blank.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you ain't making chicken blank. You're not going to make it any good out of chicken blank, is my point.
I like Dave Pasch. He's a good announcer.
He's very good. He's very good.
Madison's own Dave
Pasch. Nobody's saying anything bad about Dave Pasch. I'm telling you, Jason's saying what?
Right.
They're bad-mouthing their team. The team stunk. They didn't compete last night. What do you want these guys to say? Like you can't make chicken salad out of chicken blank. It's going to taste like chicken blank.
As I predicted, they wouldn't. All right, so here's the reason I brought this up. Because the remaining teams in the NFC draw are the Buccaneers, the 49ers, and the Rams. Taush is a huge fan of those choose-your-own-adventure books.
Yes.
I had a plan. I don't know how well I executed it here. So,
it turned into chicken
your
blank.
Plan... turning this into playoff blank. All right, so... had your plan been instituted, these games are all played. Now, I don't know if you could do it because you shouldn't be allowed to pick the Rams because they'd have to play on a short week. But you would have just not known and you would have played the game on Sunday, right? If you were choosing the Monday night team that won.
Yeah, they would have had to have done it last night. Yeah, so for everybody that doesn't know my plan is the one seed gets to pick the remaining three teams that are in. I don't believe you can take Tampa because they earned the right to host the next home game, and they won. So had Tampa lost, Philly would have been in play. So it really comes down to, would you rather play the 49ers or the Rams? And because I love the drama, I think LaFleur, and it would be the brain, you put your brain trust together. They have to come out front-facing and basically say, you know how on the is it the tournament that they do in the summer where you win and you slap your name up on the board? And it's because then you advance on? This is what
the
I
basketball
want, Goody.
Tournament.
Yeah, that's what I just said. You pick out the 49ers or Rams logo, and you slam it up on the board and say, this is who we're playing. I think for as much as I said that San Francisco was a tough matchup, and I still think San Fran is a tough matchup, with the injuries at play and with the quarterback play, I'm taking if I'm Matt LaFleur, Goody, and Mark Murphy, and I'm picking a deal to slap up on the whiteboard and say this is who's coming to town, I'm picking San Fran. Because all I'm hearing about, and I was one that said this a couple weeks ago, San Fran was one of the teams I didn't want to see Green Bay match up with. But what I hadn't thought about is Green Bay's a team nobody wants to match up with. Like, I never even thought of it because Green Bay's been the big dog and the best team really all season, but really since week five on, they've been the best team in football. Most consistent, blah, blah, blah. San Fran's who I'm picking to come here. I'm not changing a thing. I'm making them play me Saturday night. I want it cold. I want Jimmy G, and I'm saying, Shanny, I'm putting the nail in our friendship. I'm hammering this thing down. It's over. Come on into town. We're sending you packing. Aaron Rodgers 0-3 this. This is where I would pick the San Francisco 49ers to come into town. That's who I'm picking.
As is often the case, I have some questions. First of all, who do you think is more likely to play well in the cold weather of Saturday night? Jimmy Garoppolo, who has, according to Rob Domofsky, never thrown a pass when the temperature was below 40 degrees, or Matthew Stafford, who we have seen throw lots of passes when the temperature was below 40 degrees, and many of them were not very good? Who would you rather face from a quarterback perspective? Because you have been critical of Matthew Stafford and how he gets a pass for not being all that good.
I legitimately think that these two quarterbacks couldn't be more similar. Jimmy G and Stafford. Stafford gets more love because he was a first pick and he throws sidearm, and that's why he gets a lot of love. But they both are mistakes waiting to happen. Both. And if everything isn't going according to plan, I would take Stafford because he can improvise, but he also is going to make critical mistakes. Jimmy G is a less consistent quarterback than Matthew Stafford, but it's not by some huge angle. And Jimmy G can do more with his feet than Matthew Stafford. So I look at these quarterbacks in very similar lights. I don't think that would be the big differentiator for me. San Fran's running game and their physicality, they are much more physical. And if their defense was whole, if you told me for sure Freddie Varner's coming into town full speed, I can't imagine he's going to be, but is he going to try to limp it out? Maybe. Bosa with a head injury, I think he'll be back. He's a dog. He's going to cause us some problems. They have a front that is going to cause us problems, but Aaron Rodgers in this new offense since about week 7 or 8, not that they're, and I'm not using this word as a pun, not that they're immune to great pass rushes, but they have severely limited what these teams can do because that pill is coming out of his hand hot. It's going underneath. It's going to A.J. Dillon. It's coming out soon. And that is the biggest frustrator for you know, the Armsteads and the Bosas, the guys up front that they need to make big plays. Why Green Bay got beat by San Fran, it's big, not only their running game and Green Bay's anemic run defense, especially in 20, it was that pass rush getting after 12. It wasn't their defensive backs. It was the front. And that middle linebacker play dominated. All of a sudden, you take Varner out the mix. Now, Greenlaw's back, but Freddie Varner is a difference maker. And Aaron Rodgers has said that numerous times. He ain't gonna be 100%. And that is going to be a huge help to the Green Bay Packers.
All right. I do think Fred Warner, that's not what we call him on our show, but I do think he is expected to play, although, as Tausch says, he's not going to be 100% with that ankle injury. My other question,
Jason, just for the record, do you remember last year when Aaron Donald got his ribs smacked in half, and you said, he's playing. Sean McVay ain't going to lie. He's playing. I say, even if he plays, he's going to be a shell of himself. And you said, you're looking at the same scenario here. And it's a lot different asking somebody to run around with a gimpy knee compared to pass rushing with a busted rib. Next.
Except it's his ankle. But, yes, same idea. Now, the other question that I have. If you look at the Packers' run defense, do you think the Packers' run defense is good, meh, or bad?
Meh.
So, as Ashton, avid listener to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, well knows because he produces that program, 7-9 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, the Green Bay Packers finished the regular season ranked 11th in the league against the run in yards per game. 109 and change they gave up per game. Yards per carry, 30th. 4.7 yards per rush that they gave up. So that statistic takes out, say, the Minnesota Vikings playing with their backup quarterback and giving Dalvin Cook the ball 9 times. So your concern level with that aspect of this matchup, and do you still pick the 49ers as the matchup if you are in charge of picking the Packers' opponents?
I want San Fran. Yeah, I've kind of changed my tune because I want to prove to everybody that the Green Bay Packers are a physical operation. This isn't the 1920 Packers. This is the 2021-22 Packers. The question I have, and this is going to be something we won't know, Deebo Samuel has changed their run game. Obviously, they got their new running back in there, too. Deebo Samuel, how are you going to treat him if you're Joe Barry? Are you going to keep Chris Barnes in a football game when he's lined? How are you going to, just from a personnel standpoint, how are you going to bring him in the mix? Are you going to try to defend that with another safety, playing nickel or dime? Or are you going to say, no, we're playing that as base? And then do they pick you apart? That's the real chess match here, because Deebo Samuel is going to be, if he isn't a monster differentiator, San Fran is not going to be in this football game.
So just to be clear then, you have changed the rules of choose your own adventure playoff picks.
No, I
for
haven't.
The Tausch thing. You said no. I want, like, okay, can I just ask to clarify and then we can move on? You are picking the 49ers because you want to prove how good you are? Or are you picking them because you think they're easier to beat?
I think that they are going to be easier to beat, and I think the reason is because they're banged up big time at the strength of their football team. I would say this. If I had to bet, I think Green Bay versus the Rams is a better matchup for this football team. But I'm saying with the injuries that have occurred, I want San Fran now. I want them on a shorter week. I want them beat up, and I want them traveling across the country after they just traveled down to Dallas. So I'm factoring in everything, and I also want to shove it up Shanahan's you-know-what. That's my mindset. And don't give me this. I read Florio's bit. Don't give me this all hunky-dory stuff. No. There is vitriolic stuff going on, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
We will. That's a lot of hunky-dory references in my day already, and it's only 9:35. Tausch, I just wanted to clarify that, and you did so beautifully, much like you will beautifully tell us about how great it is to be back in stadiums and all the great opportunities that AmFam has for us with the Badgers.
It's different. I told you last year, most important one seed in the history of the league. Well, only trumped by this year because all the fans, 80,000 plus, going to be screaming Saturday night up at Lambeau. You can do that down at Camp Randall or the Cole Center as well. To celebrate American Family Insurance, they want to give you unforgettable Badgers experiences, including sideline passes, tours, swag, and more. Head over to amfam.com/badgers to enter today. You and a guest pick a football or basketball home game to attend next season. You get a full tour of the facility. You get on-field or on-court pictures, two pregame sideline passes, two bags full of Badgers merch, and a $2,500 travel stipend. Again, head over to amfam.com/badgers to enter today.
Twitter trash or Twitter treasure? Not about reclining into Tausch's lap on an airplane, is next. Presented by Waste Management, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Podcast with Wisconsin On Demand.
He's got the pole in the field. He's a busy guy today, even though Ashton's doing most of his job again. So let's turn it over to him for a little Twitter trash or Twitter treasure presented by Waste Management.
You only find two things on Twitter. Trash.
Yes, I love trash.
And treasure. Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure is brought to you by Waste Management, a company committed to people first and success with integrity. Join the WM family and visit careers.wm.com.
And we begin with Andrew Brandt on Twitter, often tweeting about our Green Bay.
Do you have a
Packers.
Dog in the studio, or what's going on?
I don't have
two
a dog. Ashton,
I
do you have a dog?
I got two of them.
I wish I had a dog here. That'd be sweet.
That'd be sweet. Tausch,
Andrew
should get a
Brandt.
Dog.
Yeah, Tausch, you should get
Andrew
a dog.
Brandt. I love Andrew Brandt.
Like Andrew Bark.
But he tells the same, like, 70 Packers stories from his 10 years with the team. It's like they're almost pre-scheduled, so I can't wait to hear which one this is.
Andrew Brandt tweeting last night during the second quarter of Rams-Cardinals. Cardinals haven't been the same since Rasul Douglas happened. Twitter trash or Twitter treasure, Tausch?
No, that's trash. I mean, obviously they were undefeated, but this team, DeAndre Hopkins being hurt, that set this team spiraling. J.J. Watt getting hurt definitely didn't help this team. So for as much as I think one game can springboard you, I do agree with some of that. The fact that you didn't have DeAndre Hopkins is why Rasul Douglas happened. That's the linkage that you did. So I understand trying to make everything about the Packers. I know we do a lot of that. I'm not saying we don't either. But no, that is not it wasn't Rasul Douglas that buried the Cardinals season. It's Kyler Murray's regression. It's Cliff Kingsbury. I don't think he's a great coach. I just don't. And then all the couple of injuries to critical pieces to their leadership. D-Hop being at the top of that list.
Yeah, I'm guessing that DeAndre Hopkins is the intended target with the game on the line on that Thursday night if he's available and not A.J. Green turning the wrong direction. But again, Rasul Douglas made the play. Outstanding play. Huge play in their season. Great moment. But that is trash. What's next?
Ashton, you're familiar with the work of Jen Latta. Weekday mornings, 7 to 9 a.m. on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes.
Does adding the word duper to anything labeled super automatically make it better? Super duper wild card weekend. Super duper bowl. Super duper man. And then her poll options. It actually does. Nah, doing too much. Or how old are you? Twitter trash or Twitter treasure, Tausch?
This is tough. This is tough because I do think if you just did it kind of on an island, I love it. If you're going through the list of that, by the third time you said Super Duper, I was done with it. So I think if you pick and choose and it's Super Duper Wildcard Weekend, yes, that does add a little flair to it. So I'm going to say Treasure, but you can't be repetitive with it. You can't say Super Duper Califragilistic and then Super Duper TV. And then if you do one a day, I'm good with it. One an event. You start doing three or four in the same day, I'm done with it. So I think that still makes it Treasure. But it does add a little extra to it. I do believe that.
Are you afraid to say that Jen's tweet was trash? Are you afraid of Jen?
No, because I think Super Duper Wildcard Weekend is really good. I like it. The Super Duper Bowl.
Super Duper Senior with the 6th-year seniors.
Love it.
Brad Davis.
I love it. Now, if you put all three of those in the same sentence, I hate it. But if you do it one-off, I think a one-off of it is great. Three-off, I can't do it. That's super-duper lame.
You can run and get some groceries and then buy a TV at a super-duper store.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that.
Yeah. Great to have the sad trombone back. I just remembered Mark Duper of the Marks Brothers wide receivers, Mark Clayton and Mark Duper with the Miami Dolphins. So that tweet made me smile, even though it's trash. What's next?
Last one from the Twitter Trasher, Twitter Treasure, presented by Waste Management, GOAT. Steve the Homer True at ESPN Homer on Twitter. Pack will determine history versus San Francisco. With a loss to 49ers, the connection would be even stronger that Rodgers is Steve Young, LaFleur is Steve Mariucci, and 49ers owning the Packers now, like Favre and Packers owned 49ers and Young back then. Using all the characters. Homer, Twitter Trasher, Twitter Treasure.
Complete treasure. I think there's a lot of similarities here, and last year, I can remember doing Pack Attack with Homer after that playoff loss, and the Steve Mariucci commentary came up. I don't think that's fair, but life ain't fair, and especially life in the NFL as a head coach of a big-time franchise, you're going to take a lot of heat. And for Aaron Rodgers, if this season doesn't end in a Super Bowl championship, there's going to be a ton of criticism. There's going to be a ton of criticism for Matt LaFleur. And I think a lot of it will come at the hands of the San Francisco 49ers, just like Steve Young took a lot of heat when he couldn't get over the hump versus the Green Bay Packers. I actually think this might be one of Homer's best tweets that he sent. So it is super duper treasure.
Oh, man. That was nicely done. Are we at the point of it being irritating now? I think we might be. I thought this was an outstanding tweet, which I don't say about Homer's tweets very frequently. I would also ask you this, though, Tausch, because I'd be curious to know if you think Matt LaFleur, if they were to lose, if there is something, would something questionable have to be, would there have to be a questionable decision to lead to harsh criticism of him? Or if you lose three straight NFC championship games, are people going to come after you regardless of your regular season record, regardless of whether you make a glaring questionable call like the field goal decision last year, which again we didn't have a problem with?
Yeah, I think there'll be, it goes with the territory of playoff football. There will be criticism. It is not going to be, should they extend him? Is he a good football coach? There is no way. I don't care if he doesn't even show up. He is going to be the head football coach of this team. But
right,
that is not the same thing as saying he's being critical, because he's been so good in the regular season. If you don't get over the hump, this is heavy as the crown that you, when you're wearing it, I don't know how that exactly goes, but heavy
is the
crown.
Head that wears the crown.
Whatever. It is. He has got a crown. He is crowned as a really good football
crown
coach.
Him.
But he doesn't. But he doesn't have a crown yet because he hasn't won. He hadn't won the big one. And he's got a Hall of Fame quarterback. That there's a lot. I'm telling you, I said this right after that Detroit loss. The pressure is mounting. It's all the pressure on the Green Bay Packers. There ain't any pressure on San Fran. There's not. Everybody expects San Fran, even though they're a nice team and, oh, they're a tough matchup. Green Bay needs to win this football game. And it is all on Green Bay. They know that. How you deal with that is going to be whether or not you can figure out a way to win. And I think that this team is built to deal with it and to thrive with it. And they're healthy, all of the things that we'll talk about all week. But make no mistake about it, there's nobody in this playoffs that has more on them than Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. Nobody even close to having the pressure that those two have.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, but he doesn't have a crown, so I don't know if he's wearing like a tiara or a pope hat or something. But whatever it is, it's heavy on Matt LaFleur's head. We will check in with the poll question, which Jesse, hardest working man in the Park Bank ESPN Madison studios, has posted to the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed. We'll check that out next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
And she's calling a cab while he's having a smoke. And she's taking a drag. Now they're going to bed. And my stomach is sick.
The poll is in the field. And I know that it seems like Tausch and I bicker a fair amount, but more often than not, I tend to agree with him. I'm not sure I agree with you on this. Now, I understand the Rams were pretty darn good last night, and I understand your reasoning. I still don't like the matchup. I think they're going to win. I do not think they're going to lose to the 49ers, but I don't love the matchup here, and so I don't know why the Bucks are even on the list.
It's a playoff football game. This isn't. You're not playing Detroit, man, or the Bears. Like, this is playoff football. They're in a matchup that's like, oh, this is cream puff city. Like, it's going to be hard.
I understand.
And I'm telling you that my mind changed when Bosa gets hurt and Varner gets hurt. All of a sudden, that changes the complexion of who that football team is. That's why I'm saying bring it, baby. Let's see it. Let's see what
bring
you got.
Bring it, baby. Yeah, so 53% of respondents are with you on this. Now, I'm a little confused because you did say that the Buccaneers should not be an option. It should really be between...
No, they shouldn't be, yeah. I was pretty clear about that, yeah.
I thought you
they earned
too,
the
yeah.
right to have... they should have had a bye last week. They shouldn't be... So one of the little unknown, or I guess the forgotten about importance of that bye, we all know not being able to be eliminated on opening week. First, I think the most important. Then you get that week to rest and get guys back. But the other thing is playoff football is another notch of intensity and another layer of injuries. You're
right.
Two of your biggest competitors that are trying to stop you from reaching your goal, they lost critical pieces. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost two guys on their O-line. Don't know how long they're going to be out or if they're going to miss, but if they do come back, they're not going to be whole. And then the team you're playing against, you make a really good argument. They're two most important defensive players.
Correct.
Both are dinged and limited. That's why that one seed, it is the most important one seed in the history of the league. And I'm doubling down on it with the 80,000 people up at Lambeau on Saturday night that are going to make a difference.
No doubt about that.
If Matt LaFleur's got anything to say about it.
So the poll is in the field. I have retweeted it. Your opportunity to vote, go to @WildeandTausch on Twitter. But right now, 52% of you would have chosen the 49ers. 40% of you would have chosen, like me, the Rams, because I am a Matthew Stafford doubter, as Frank Novak, the old Packers off special teams coach, would say. But 8% of you voted for the Buccaneers, who aren't supposed to be on the poll. Tausch, you weren't here yesterday, so I got to tell everyone about my most recent visit to Toppers. But today you're back to tell us more about football and pizza.
Football and pizza, they go hand in hand. And Topper's Pizza and Jonathan Taylor, they want to hook you up during this postseason with a fantastic contest. Simple. Go to toppers.com/ESPN right now. Can win an autographed Jonathan Taylor Wisconsin jersey along with a $280 gift card to Topper's Pizza. That, my friends, is a lots of topper sticks you can get for $280. Sign up at toppers.com/ESPN. Badger legend Jonathan Taylor loves him some Topper's Pizza. Reward yourself. Download the all-new Topper's Pizza app, and you can earn points for free food. Topper's Pizza, it is growing. You can be like JT and become a Topper's franchisee. Learn more about the Topper's story and request more info at toppers.com/franchise. Pizza, football, and an awesome contest from our friends over at Topper's Pizza. For your chance to win the signed JT jersey, toppers.com/ESPN to win it all.
We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour with Jesse coming at Josh DiMaggio, who's not even here to defend himself. That's where we'll start the 10 o'clock hour, so stick around. In 2 minutes, it's Wilde and Tausch.